Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the epistle reading. Again, that's drawn from 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, where in verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is the word of the Lord. "The man I ate dinner with tonight killed my brother." These words were spoken by a woman at a prison fellowship banquet in Seattle some years ago. She told how a man named John had murdered her brother during a robbery, served 18 years in jail, then settled into life on a dairy farm where she had met him in 1983, 20 years after the crime took place. Compelled by Christ's command to forgive, Ruth Youngsman had gone to her enemy and pronounced forgiveness. Then she took him to her father's deathbed, prompting reconciliation there. Now, some would not call this a success story. John didn't immediately become a Christian, but at that prison fellowship banquet, his voice cracked as he said, "Christians are the only people I know that you can kill their son and they'll make you part of their family. I don't know the man upstairs, but he sure is hounding me." John's story is unfinished. But just as Christ died for us, regardless of our acceptance, so Ruth Youngsman forgave John without qualification, without stipulation. And even more so, she became his friend. Reconciliation is at the heart of the Christian faith. Putting a relationship back together with forgiveness as the glue is how the whole thing works. We know this. And yet, we can hear a story like Ruth Youngsman's, and a part of us thinks her foolish, thinks her naive, or weak, or just strange, because she forgave. Because she did what Christ would have all of us do. Where we hold to a double standard, or worse, where we withhold forgiveness from others, we need to change. No buts. No what ifs, no listen what they did to me's. Repent and change direction, or else forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us are just words. Words that we whisper from memory with no real meaning to us at all. But maybe I'm putting the cart before the horse. Reconciliation with other people really isn't possible unless we're first reconciled with God. If we have real trouble reconciling with others, that suggests we may not be all that sure about our reconciliation with the Father. Perhaps that's why St. Paul, writing his second letter to the Corinthians, comes on so strongly. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, the word implore means to beg. The apostle's saying, I am begging you, be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Is Paul speaking to you with the Holy Spirit's power? If so, the next verse tells you how this reconciliation comes to you. God made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It isn't complicated. It's a simple exchange. Jesus gets our sin, and we get Jesus' goodness. That's the gospel. And for some people, that's just too good to be true. A pastor once told a true story of one of his church members who was an attorney, who, after being hit by the word of God one day, decided that he was going to cancel the debts of all his clients who owed him money for more than 6 months. So he drafted a letter explaining his decision, the biblical basis for doing so, and then he sent 17 debt-canceling letters via certified mail. The letters would have to be signed for upon receipt. One by one, the letters began to return, unsigned for, therefore undelivered. In the end, 16 of 17 letters came back to him because the clients refused to sign for and open the envelopes, fearing the attorney was suing them for their debts. The first step in being reconciled to God is realizing He is not out to get you. As a matter of fact, He's the one who wants reconciliation. He wants to be reconciled to you so much that He applied the debt of your sin to His Son's account and made him pay. Jesus paid by that debt by going to what St. Paul liked to call the tree. And that was one way that he used to talk about the cross on which Jesus died. But there's more to that tree reference than simply the cross was made of wood and wood comes from trees. The cross, Paul means to say, is our tree of life. And when you explore that image, you have to go all the way back to the first chapters of Genesis to find a tree of life back there as well. The cross is our tree of life because on that tree, this exchange was made. Jesus agrees to suffer, endure hell for you and me, and die so that you and I never have to go through that. And if the devil tries to drag your old sins back out in front of you, you can shove the letter that God sent you back in his face and show him where it says, paid in full. It is finished. The reconciliation that God offers is meant to become a real driving force in your life. It takes on flesh and blood in the decisions that you make each day. And that's probably the best way that we catch the power of forgiveness is when we're on the receiving end of that forgiveness. We see it being given by a Christian person like Ruth Youngsman at the beginning of this message. And sometimes even we catch it in fictional examples like the bishop in the story Les Miserables, Some of you may know that story. If you don't, Victor Hugo's novel Les Misérables tells the story of a man named Jean Valjean, who is an ex-convict. He served 19 years of hard labor for the crime of stealing bread. And when he finally was released, he was tough. His heart was hardened. Soon after his release, he was invited to come stay at the house of the local bishop. And after that bishop was asleep, Valjean stole the family silver and ran off into the night. The next morning, he was captured by three policemen. He was brought back to the bishop. "So there you are," the bishop cried. "I'm delighted to see you. Did you forget I gave you the candlesticks as well? They're silver, like the rest, worth a good 200 francs. Did you forget to take them?" After the policeman had gone, the bishop gave the candlesticks to Valjean, who was speechless, was trembling. And the bishop said, "Do not ever forget that you have promised me to use this money to make yourself a new man." That's the promise we stand on the edge of yet again today. God does not repay us as our sins deserve. Instead, He gives you the silver and the candlesticks. He gives you forgiveness of sins, the promise of new and eternal life, and other blessings thrown in. Do not ever forget how He has dealt with you. Bring it into every corner of your life. I'm begging you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And let the pardon that you have received be the pardon that you give. Would you please pray with me? Father, when we hear your word, we are astounded that you want reconciliation with us. We know how much a resemblance we bear to both the younger and the older brother in the story that Jesus told. And still you run to us. You throw yourself around our necks. You order that the greatest gifts be brought out to us, and you celebrate with us at the banquet that you throw in our honor. We know how much we deserve it. Fill us to the brim today with the marvel of grace, so that we celebrate with our lips and our lives the reconciliation that has made us who we are. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.